when you go to the pharmacist and buy some pills and pop it out of the little foil package that it comes in, does it ever occur to you that it could be dodgy drugs? Doesn't occur to me. I'm quite happy with the Australian system. But apparently there are dodgy drugs out there, and there's a question about whether the Trump administration should be doing something about dodgy drugs that allegedly come out of India. Talking to us now about just that is Roger Bate. He's a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute for Public Policy Research and has some understanding of this issue. Roger Bate, welcome to Counterpoint.
It's great to be talking with you. The World Health Organization put out a report last week which estimated that about 10.5% of the medicines sold internationally are either substandard or falsified, which means that they're either badly made by legal firms or they're made by criminal groups trying to pass something awful or just bad off as a legitimate medicine. So globally, this is a significant issue.
10%,
where you are in the world. Yeah, 10.5 to 11%. Depends where you are in the world as to whether you have a significant problem or it's a very minor problem. You know, if you are in the United States or Great Britain or Australia, the odds on you getting a dodgy medicine are low, very low, much lower than 10%. If you're living in the Democratic Republic of Congo or you're living in maybe some poorer Southeast Asian countries, then the odds are much higher that you're going to take a medicine that won't work.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can be directly fatal, but more often than not, they are dangerous because they don't treat the condition or disease you have.
Yeah. And in addition to the moral obligation the rest of us have to try and ensure that these drugs are efficient and effective, there's also the financial issue that if the rest of the world is, through aid projects, putting money in to get these drugs to treat illnesses, then you want them to actually work, don't you?
Absolutely. And you have a lot of pressure to lower the price of medicines so that more people can be treated, all of which, you know, makes sense, is understandable. If you're an aid agency or you're a private donor, or frankly, you're just a corporation or other entity in an emerging market and you want to help people with particularly pernicious diseases like HIV, tuberculosis, malaria, or other less well-known diseases, you want to treat as many people as possible, but you absolutely want to make sure that the medicines work. And there's often a trade-off in terms of price and quality. It's not, you know, it's not always straightforward. It's not always obvious what medicines are going to work and what medicines aren't.
Mm. And it's not only that you want them to work because you want value for money. I think the proposition, perhaps I can put this way, is that you've got $1,000 to spend. Of course, you want to spend it on effective drugs. And if the drugs aren't going to be effective, then you could spend that $1,000 in another way, very effectively, maybe on a health issue, maybe on something else, it doesn't matter, but you get value for money, not so that you're happy, ha, 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 I got value for money, but so the recipient gets value for your money. That's what you really want to see happen. Now, your article refers to the Trump administration and India. Do I take it by that India is a great source of drugs and therefore a potentially a great source of dodgy drugs?
India is often thought of as being the pharmacy to the developing world. And that is because there is no doubt that India produces the cheapest generic medicines in the world. And by and large, Indian medicines are good quality. The companies are quite capable of making good quality medicines. The problem is that the Indian government sees its Indian drugs industry as being its like leading industry and therefore defends it perhaps too strenuously and provides almost no oversight for the quality of the medicines produced by Indian companies. So you have something of a trade-off there, which is that the cutthroat pricing of drugs within India itself and the international bargaining for cheap medicines means that there is a constant downward pressure on the price of medicines. What that means is that some companies that can make good quality drugs and others that frankly may not be able to make them that well to begin with end up cutting corners and you have medicines that don't work as well as they should do. And some of those medicines do make their way into donor programs and do make their way even into richer countries like the United States and probably Australia, although I can't claim to know the source of medicines into Australia.
But Roger, isn't it like any other business? And that is that if you are producing things and you're allowing dodgy stuff or slightly substandard stuff to go through, that sooner or later there's going to be an incident where the dodginess or the half-baked attitude of some of your drugs is going to feature very highly. And with today's social media, it's going to go all around the world really quickly, and it's going to damage the company that produces that drug and probably the industry generally in that country with reputational damage. So why don't people recognise that? Let me give you an example. You wouldn't, for example, think that people making a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW would say, oh, look, it's okay if some of them don't meet the standard because we probably won't get caught. They would work on the basis they would get caught. And the whole purpose of buying a Mercedes or a BMW is you get a value for your money, you get a quality product. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, that's a great question, and answering it is can be quite long-winded. I'll do my best to keep it as short as possible. When you buy a medicine in most countries of the world, you are either buying the brand products. So let's talk about some of the most famous products out there. Lipitor, which is a statin used to control cholesterol. The generic name is atorvastatin. You could ask for Lipitor, or you could ask for a generic equivalent. In most countries of the world, if you ask for atorvastatin, the patient has no idea where that atorvastatin is made, by which company, in which country. And what that means is that if you are getting a bad version of atorvastatin, you have absolutely no recourse to the company that's manufacturing it. So to take your example, let's say that the Mercedes is the brand name product, but the Ford or GM or Honda product is the generic. If you were just told you went to a dealership and you were randomly given a generic car, and you had no recourse to the manufacturer of that because it wasn't written on it. That's the kind of situation you're in often with pharmaceuticals. So if you buy a Honda or a GM product that doesn't work as well, you can not only sue the company, there will be the social media responses. There will be the kind of outrage that you're talking about. Unfortunately, when it comes to pharmaceuticals, at least in the United States, to a lesser extent, but also the same in Europe, there is no differentiation based on the manufacturer. And that means that manufacturers of shoddy products can often get away with making inferior products because there is this, I think it's one of the biggest lies in pharmaceutical production, which is that all generic drugs are equal. And they're not. I'm pro-generic medicines because they're cheaper, and the patent owner of an innovator medicine has made a lot of money from having the drugs that were on patent. Once they've gone off patent, it's good that the drugs are cheaper, but the problem is if you can't differentiate the product by saying, I want to buy the product made by Teva in Israel or Sandoz in Switzerland, but you say, I'm just getting the atorvastatin, you might well end up getting a cutthroat-produced product coming out of India or China. And so you do not have that recourse, which you have in other forms of purchasing, such as cars or, frankly, foods. If you go into your local supermarket, you're more likely to be able to buy a particular brand. It may be the specific brand of the supermarket you're going into, but you know who has manufactured it. When you're buying drugs, you often actually don't know who's manufactured it and which country they're being manufactured in. So that's why there is this, I think, a widespread problem of inferior quality of medicines in particularly in emerging markets, but also in richer markets.
Roger, you have just really given me the spooks because I regularly take a range of medicine and the chemist says, you're happy to have a generic. Yes, I say. And I don't look at the packet to see who manufactured it.
Right.
But I'm going to very quickly have a look at those packets and see. I didn't realise that was the case. Okay, now look, what's the story with the United States and the challenge they could put to the Indian government to make sure that all of their manufacturers produce as well as their really good manufacturers do?
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is the wealthiest regulator in the world and has been responsible for identifying numerous, and by numerous I mean several dozen, examples where Indian companies have cut corners. In one instance, the most famous case in May 2013, Ranbaxy, was found guilty of 7 felonies and fined $500 million for lying to the FDA about the fact that the quality of its medicines were not as good as they should have been. So the US FDA, partly because of the specific example of Ranbaxy, but then also because of another 40-odd examples, has set up an office, offices in India, and has, at latest count, I think 19 employees that do routine inspections of plants in India. The Indian government doesn't like the fact that a foreign regulator is, in effect, providing oversight to its quality of production. But unlike in the United States, where the FDA, US FDA, Food and Drug Administration, can turn up unannounced, they literally can turn up at a plant in New Jersey or California, wherever it may be, and say, we need to look at your records, we want to go walk on the floor, we need to look at the pill production,
yeah, good thing.
And everything else. Absolutely. They can't do that unfettered in India. They have to give notice. And until I got married, and even perhaps my wife would say now, I'm a typical guy, if my wife's away for a few days, the house may not look as clean as it should do. But if I know she's coming back in an hour, I've got time to clean up a lot of the mess.
Indeed.
If you can imagine the situation where, you know, an Indian plant is given a day's notice, they can get the cockroaches off the floor. They can make sure there are no other wildlife in the place. They can make sure that the right number of staff are on the production line. They can make sure that the right amount of time that a medicine or a chemical has been in a centrifuge is actually followed. You get my drift.
Yeah.
So even then, the FDA is the most important regulator in India. And that should worry us, because the regulators in Australia and Europe and the United States do a good job. But if the product is coming from a country which is poorly regulated, and India certainly is, you are reliant very much on foreign regulators, and most importantly, the US FDA, to ensure quality of medicines.
Mm.
So that's number one. That's what's happening. What else can happen? Where I would say that there are international political disputes are often over things like trademarks and patents. And during the Obama administration, you had the biggest issues fought between India and the United States were over, when it comes to pharmaceuticals, were fought over things like patents and trademarks. They weren't fought over quality. So what the Indian government sees is that mid-level bureaucrats, which is what the head of the Food and Drug Administration is to them, coming in and complaining about quality, but the Secretary of State and the Vice President, as they were then, Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, were more interested in engaging on intellectual property. So as far as they could see, it was not viewed as a major political issue in the United States, so they frankly didn't respond as you would want them to respond and improve quality oversight. So what I was hoping was that much as there is much to be concerned with in a Trump administration, I was hoping that perhaps his push for more domestic production could actually push the Indian government to take the quality issue more seriously. Unfortunately, I think what we're seeing is that because of Trump's, you know, fights with North Korea and disagreements with China, that he doesn't really want, and his team don't really want to take on the Indian government over issues of drug quality. I can understand that. I work most of the time in Washington, D.C. I understand that you have to prioritize, but I think that for someone like me who does peer-reviewed research on drug quality, that writes papers on this stuff, it's a big concern to me, and I don't feel that the Trump administration is paying enough attention to it.
Roger, I think it's a big concern to everybody who takes regular drugs, where the chemist says, are you happy to have a generic equivalent? Once I've heard your words, as I said, I can't wait to get back and home and just check those packets and see where my stuff was made, if in fact it does tell me where it was made.
The one thing I want to stress, because someone listening to your program might think that I'm just on the side of the big innovator companies in the United States and Europe and elsewhere, and I do want to stress that it's not an issue of generic versus innovator. It's a question of where the generics are made. And I know you just stressed that, but I think it's important to realize that there are many, many good generic manufacturers out there in Britain, in Germany, in Israel, in Switzerland, probably in Australia, I don't know, in Canada and in the United States, and probably other places. There are good generic manufacturers in India. The problem is that the oversight is for the location of manufacturing is critical. And only in the richer countries of the world is the oversight of these good enough quality for you to feel confident that the medicines actually will work. So it's not to say don't go and buy generic medicine. It's to inquire as to whether that generic medicine is getting ingredients or finished products from India or China, because there are significant problems in those particular jurisdictions over quality control. The problem is that they also make the cheapest products, and everyone is looking to lower their costs.
Indeed.
So this is not going to be an easy thing to resolve. It's not like you can suddenly say, I don't want any ingredients from China, because you'd suddenly have drug shortages. I just wanted to stress that it's not generic versus innovator. It's generics made with decent oversight versus generics made with bad oversight.
I get it, and it concerns me. Roger Bate, scholar at the American Enterprise Institute for Public Policy Research. Thanks very much for joining us.
I think it's a great topic, and thank you for paying attention to it.